Welcome to the Shir Tagum Parshas Behar. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Ami and Larissa Nahari, marking the yard site of his uncle, Avram Ben Moshe. It's also sponsored by Judy Becker, marking the yard site of her father, Rabbi Yisrael Moshe, Rabbi Yoel, the Neshama Shereb and Aliyah, Shisi Moshe Nachas Ruach, and the Tar Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the families are involved in. The end of Parshas Behar, we find the following pasuk, beginning of Perek Chavav. Osasu lochem elilim, should not make any idols for yourselves. Ufesel umatseva lo sokimu lochem, you should not set up a statue or a matseva, a monument that's set up as a part of worship. Ve'even maskis lo sitnu ba'artzechem lishtachavos aleha, and you should not place a maskus stone in your land that you bow down upon, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am Hashem, your God. What is the meaning of this even maskus? Right, another word, even is a stone. What exactly is the word maskus? So Rashi writes, even maskus, loshen kisui. The word maskus is derived from the word kisui, which means a covering. Kamo v'sakosi chapi. The pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, fine, but v'sakosi chapi alecha ad avri, I'm going to cover you, as it were, with my hand until I pass by. I'm going to pass by you. Again, obviously, it's not meant in a totally literal sense, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to display his glory to Moshe Rabbeinu, but to make sure that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are not harmed by the experience, v'sakosi kapi olecha, I'm going to cover you over with my hand. So here too, even maskis means something which is covered over. Shemechasin hakarka beritzbas avonim. The ground is covered over with a stone floor. We know that for much of history, many buildings just had a dirt floor. You know, the idea of having any kind of tiling or flooring, you know, was a novel idea. It was only done, you know, in certain circumstances when you wanted to make it look very nice. So the even maskus simply means a stone which is flooring. In other words, which is used as a cover for the ground itself, right?
So is that part literal?
That part is literal. In other words, even maskus means a floor. In other words, according to Rashi's interpretation, a stone floor. Ve'even maskis lo sitnu ba'artzichem, don't place a stone, don't bow down on a stone floor that you have in your, you know, in your homes. Right? That's the... What's that? Oh, Beit HaMikdosh not. Right? We'll see the Gemara is going to say that since the pasuk says ba'artzichem, you know, it means outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Mikdash itself, it's not a problem. It's only outside of the Mikdash that it's a problem. Why that distinction exists, and to some extent, is what we're going to talk about this evening. Right? Just to go back to Rashi again on the Pasuk. Rashi comments, L'shtachavos aleha, you're not allowed to bow down on this stone flooring. Again, that's the translation that Rashi has of Even Maskus, a stone that serves as a floor. Afilu l'ashamayim, you're not allowed to bow down on this flooring, this stone flooring, even to Hashem. L'fisha yishtachavai v'pishut yadayim v'raglayim hi, because the word l'hishtachavos, even though we translate it as bowing, really, 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 yishtachavai means prostration. In other words, putting oneself, not just bowing from the waist down, but literally, you know, lying down on the floor with one's hands and feet spread out. V'asra tara lasos kein, chutz min ha-mikdash. And the Torah here prohibits us doing such a thing, prostrating ourselves on a stone floor outside of the mikdash. Right? So in other words, the pasuk says, ba'artzichem, you shouldn't do this in your lands. You can do it in the Beis HaMikdash, but you know, you can, in the Beis HaMikdash, we do prostrate ourselves on a stone floor. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not allowed to do that. And we'll see, Rashi seems to imply a little bit, we'll come back to this point a little bit later, that indeed the reason that the Torah prohibits us from prostrating ourselves on a stone floor outside of the Beis HaMikdash is in order to distinguish between the Mikdash and other places. In the Mikdash, we're allowed, and not only allowed, but encouraged, to bow down, to prostrate ourselves on the stone floors of the Mikdash. However, in order to keep the Mikdash something that is special, something that is unique, we're prohibited from doing so outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That seems to be the approach that Rashi has over here, and we'll see that's consistent with what Rashi writes in Maseches Megillah, where this topic is also dealt with. It's not Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael. It's Mikdash versus non-Mikdash.
Because
Artzichem means, you know, and your environs outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Gemara understands it. So that's the way Rashi understands the word maskis. Again, maskis simply means that which covers over. In other words, a floor which covers over the dirt ground itself. The Rashbam interprets this word differently. Rashi writes that the word maskis, the Rashbam rather writes that the word maskis is related to the word liros, to look at something. He quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, maskios levav, which is generally understood to mean that which the heart sees. Right, to be soche means to see, to perceive something. So the Rashbam over here writes that what we're talking about over here, an even maskis, is an even roe. It's a stone which is seen. Not that the stone itself sees anything, but the stone is worthy of being seen. That is to say, sheyesh bo tzlamim v'tziurim listakel bohem. There are all kinds of images and engravings on the stone that one would want to see, that one would want to look at. A similar interpretation is given by the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra writes that Evan Maskis means Evan Mitsuyara, a stone that has engraving on it. And the Dazakenim similarly writes that Hakol Sachin Beyofya, this is a stone that's so beautiful that everyone looks at, everyone gazes at the beauty of this particular stone. So here, the Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra, the Das Akenim introduce a different interpretation of the word maskis. They say maskis means an engraved stone, a stone that has images on it that would make a person want to look at the stone. And indeed, this interpretation of maskis finds its reflection in the Yonasan ben Uziel. So the Yonasan ben Uziel writes in translating this pasuk, the even mitzaira, and an engraved stone, lo sidnun ba'arachon, you should not place in your land, lemigchan Allah, such that you would bow down upon it, right? You're not allowed to make an engraved stone outside of the Mikdash to bow down upon.
Gives it a negative connotation.
Right. But in other words, what you see in the Yonasan ben Uziel is that he introduces this translation that you see also in the Rashbam, the Das Akenim, and the Ibn Ezra, that the word maskis, you know, implies something artistic. Now, Rashi did not say that at all. Rashi said that maskis simply means a covering, a flooring. Right, but these other Mefarshim and the Yonasan ben Uziel introduce the idea that what we're talking about is an engraved, an illustrated stone, and you know you're not allowed to bow down on that. Why would you not be allowed to bow down on that? On the surface, and we'll come back to this a little bit later, that perhaps smacks a little bit of avodah zara, of idolatry. In other words, we're not supposed to bow down to images. And a beautiful engraved stone, seems to be a little bit too close to some kind of idolatry, to some kind of graven image. So we stay away from it because, you know, perhaps one would get the impression that you're bowing down to the stone itself. So again, even just in the translation of the word, there seems to be a little bit of a different hint at what the reason is behind this prohibition. Rashi's interpretation of Evan Maskis being flooring imply, and Rashi's interpretation that you shouldn't do it in your lands, only in the Beis HaMikdash, implies that the point over here is to try to create a distinction between the Beis HaMikdash and other places. Don't try to mimic the Mikdash outside of the Mikdash. The interpretation of the Yonasan ben Uziel and the Rashbam, the Das Akenum, and the Ibn Ezra that we're talking about, an engraved stone over here, carries the implication that maybe there's something Avodah Zarah related, idolatry related, which is the problem over here.
It seems that up until the point when the Ibishtha took Avodah Zarah away from us, it was like a universal innate hunger for Avodah Zarah.
The Targum Unculus has what seems to be yet a third interpretation of what the word maskus means. Again, so far maskus, we've said, according to Rashi, means a flooring. According to the Yonasan ben Uziel and these other mefarshim, means something engraved. The Targum Unculus writes, "Ve'even segida lo sitnun be'arachon," a stone that's set aside for prostration, you should not make in your lands. The word segida means to bow down or to prostrate oneself. Even maskus means a stone that is designated for bowing down. Right? So first of all, we have to understand what that means. What does it mean, a stone that's made for bowing down? Right? As opposed to what? In other words, it sounds like not all stones are problematic. It's a specific type of stone which is prohibited according to the Targum Unculus' translation. We also have to try to understand where he gets the word segida out of the word maskus, right? Etymologically, how does maskus relate to the idea of bowing down? In Rashi, Rashi told us maskus means a covering because the Pasuk says v'sakosi kapi. And in the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, they said that even maskus means a stone that one looks at based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, maskios levov, that which the heart sees, that which the heart perceives. Where does maskus come to mean a bowing down stone, a stone of prostration? So here the author of the Aksava Kabbalah offers up the following interpretation of the Targum Unculus. He says, the word maskus could be understood as if it was pronounced mashkis, with a shin as opposed to a sin. If you're a Litvak, it's all the same. You know, a shin, a sin, you know, they're all kind of interchangeable. But again, all kidding aside, in Lashon Kodesh, there can also sometimes, you know, the distinction between a shin and a sin very often is not, you know, so powerful. So let's say it's written Evan Mashkis, right, with a shin as opposed to a sin. So what does that mean? So the author of the Ksava Kabbalah points out the word shach in Hebrew means for something to calm down, to simmer down, right? So for instance, after Achashverosh kills Vashti in a fit of anger, it says, Achar advarim ho'ele, after these things, kishoch chamas ha-melech Achashverosh, as the anger of Achashverosh the king fizzled out, as it went down. Or after Haman is hanged as well, v'chamas ha-melech shachacha, also in the Megillah, it says that the anger of the king calmed down, you know, because he was so upset at being the revelation that Haman was looking to kill Esther and her whole people. So now Haman is hanged. V'chamas ha-melech shachacha, the anger of the king diminishes. So the word shach, says the Ksava Kabbalah, means for something to be diminished, for something to go down. What is prostration? Prostration is the physical diminishing of the human being. The human being is standing upright, and when he prostrates himself, he literally diminishes himself. He throws himself down on the floor. He goes down. He descends. So the same way that Kesho Chamas HaMelech HaChashverosh V'Chamas HaMelech Shachacha, so too Ve'even Mashkis means a stone of diminishing. In what sense is it a stone of diminishing? It's a stone that's meant for the prostration of the person, right? So, again, as we pointed out, the Targum Unculus seems to have a different translation of the word maskis. It's not a covering. It's not something which is engraved, but rather it's a stone which is set aside for prostration. It's an even segida. And the question is, does that have different implications in terms of the reason behind this prohibition? We suggested that Rashi versus the Yonos HaMen Uzziel seem to have different understandings as to what the problem with Evan Maskis is. Rashi seems to understand that it's a problem of trying to mimic the Mikdash. We want the Mikdash to be unique. Only the Mikdash should be a place where you can prostrate yourself down on the stone floor. Other places you shouldn't do that. According to the other interpretation of the Yonos HaMen Uzziel that we're talking about, an engraved stone, so the implication seems to be you can't prostrate yourself on this engraved stone because it smacks a little bit of Avodah Zarah. Where does the Targum Onkelos fit into this galaxy of things? So to try to answer that question, we should just note that the translation of Evan Maskis, where we've seen these three different ways of understanding it, does play itself out among the different Rishonim. And indeed, in terms of this understanding of what the prohibition of Evan Maskis actually is. We started off by mentioning Rashi. So Rashi, in Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara describes this prohibition of Evan Maskis, Rashi there makes a comment which seems to fit together very nicely with the comment that Rashi makes here, Al HaTorah. Just get you the citation. Rashi in Megillah Daf Chof Beis Omid Beis writes that Osra Torah Mishum Dugmas Mikdosh Ke'en Lav Dolo Sa'asun. Rashi there writes that the reason that the Torah prohibits Evan Maskis is along the lines of the prohibition Lo Sa'asun Iti. The Gemara explains that there's a prohibition to recreate aspects of the Mikdosh. You're not supposed to make a shulchan, a menorah that's exactly in the same dimensions of that's used in the Beis HaMikdash itself. It's actually partially for that reason that in shuls, when they have a recreation of the seven-branch menorah, like I have right behind me, they always make a point of trying to make it clearly not like the one of the Beis HaMikdash. So if there's a Magen David, you know, in the middle of the menorah, that's not just done for artistic reasons, that's to avoid the idea of actually having a seven-branched menorah that's going to look exactly like the one in the Mikdash. The one in the Mikdash did not have a Magen David, in the middle of the menorah. So by putting in that little artistic knetch, you know, we avoid making something that looks exactly like that in the Mikdash. Rashi there in Megillah basically says that's the reason that the Torah prohibits Evan Maskis. In other words, we only bow down on stone floors in the Mikdash. We don't bow down on stone floors anywhere outside of the Mikdash, so as to make the Mikdash unique. And that idea, as we saw before, really seems to come through from Rashi Al HaTorah as well, where Rashi, talking about this prohibition, concludes by saying, Osra Torah, lasos ken chutz min ha-mikdash. The Torah prohibits doing this, bowing down on a stone floor, outside of the Mikdash, again, implying that he's not just telling us a fact about where it applies, but that's actually the Ta'am HaMitzvah, that's the reason for the Mitzvah. We want to make the Mikdash special and unique, you know, that's the only place where you can bow down on a stone floor. In contrast, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos makes a statement about this prohibition that seems to fit much better with the approach of the Yonos HaMen Uzziel and the others, who say that we're talking about an engraved stone. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Lo Sa'aseh Yud Beis, writes, Shehisiranu yasos even muchenes lishtachavos aleha. The Torah prohibits us making a special stone, a stone which is set aside for prostration. Afilu hayozelo kel yisbarach, even if we're serving Hashem by bowing down on that stone. V'gam kein shelo yisdamel avodah zarah. The Rambam writes explicitly in Sefer HaMitzvos, the prohibition over here is that we shouldn't do something that appears like we're engaged in avodah zarah, in idolatry. Ki kein osin even mitzuyeres b'melacha mechukemes lifnei atzelem, because that was the way of the avodah zarah, of the idolaters. They would make an even mitzuyeres. They would make an engraved stone, a special engraved stone, b'melacha mechukemes, with great artisanship. Lifnei atzelem, they would make such a stone in front of the idol. Yishtachavu aleha la'oso tzelem, and they would bow down upon this stone for that, you know, in front of that particular idol. So in other words, this was something that was known in the Avodah Zarah of antiquity. You wouldn't just bow down wherever you were in front of the idol. There was a special bowing stone which was made, and it was ornate, and it was beautiful, and it was engraved and the like, and that's what you would bow down upon. So you shouldn't make such a stone. You shouldn't bow down on such a stone. V'amar ve'evin maskis lo sitnu be'artzichem l'shtachbos aleho v'ha'over alav ze loka. Right, that's what the pasuk is saying. If you make such a stone to bow down upon it, one is going to be subject to Malchus. That's what our pasuk is talking about. No. So we're not talking about the Avodah Zarah itself. Would be chayiv misa, but even just making the stone would be a problem of a lav according to the Rambam. It's interesting. According to what we saw in Rashi, it seems like the prohibition is bowing down on the stone. According to the Rambam, the prohibition is making the stone, because obviously the Avodah Zarah itself, as you point out correctly, is going to be a chiyuv miso if we're engaging in Avodah Zarah. Here, even making the stone is considered to be a lo sase. Right? The pasuk says, "Ve'ever maskis lo sitnu ba'artzichem." You can't make such a thing. That's the prohibition, which is being spelled out by the Torah. So here the Rambam introduces the idea of the even mitzuyeres, of the engraved stone, where it sounds like he's following the footsteps of the Yonasan ben Uziel and the like. And again, the Isser is not based on trying to make the Mikdosh unique. The Isser is based on not doing something which is part of the process of engaging in Avodah Zarah. Now, it's interesting to note that when one looks in the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, which is where the Rambam is Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, leaves out the description of the Evan Mitzuyeres. So it's in Avodah Zarah, Hilchos Avodah Kochavim, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav. V'chein Evan Maskis Hu'amura B'Torah. Right? An Evan Maskis, which is mentioned in the Torah, Af al pi shu mishtacha ve'oleho l'ashem, even though you're bowing down on the Evan Maskis to Hashem, you know, not to Avodah Zarah loka, he gets Malchus. Again, to David's point from before, you know, even if you're not being over Avodah Zarah, even if you're just bowing down on the stone to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a problem. Why? Mipnei shahayaderech ovdi kochav l'aniach evin l'fonel l'shtachvos aleho. The way in which the idolaters would serve their idols, they would put a stone in front of the idol and they would bow down on it. L'fikach ein osin kein l'ashem. So therefore, we don't do the same when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's not Avodah Zarah per se, but according to the Rambam, we have to make sure that the manner in which we serve Hashem is very different from the manner in which the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the idolaters, would serve their Avodah Zarah. They bow down in front of the special stone, in front of the Avodah Zarah. We can't do the same. We have to act in a way which is different than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now here the Rambam doesn't mention anything about an Evan Mitzuyeres, about an engraved stone. How do you reconcile the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, where he mentions it, with the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, where he doesn't say anything about it? So it would seem that the answer to the question is, according to the Rambam, the Evan Mitzuyeres, the fact that the stove is engraved, is really secondary to the whole discussion over here. In other words, it doesn't really matter. Yes, engraved, not engraved. What matters is the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to make a special stone that they would place in front of their idols. We can't make such a stone like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah made, and we can't bow down on such a stone like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah made, whether it's engraved or not engraved, because it's the sort of thing that was done to Avodah Zarah. It would seem that it's that position of the Rambam which is being reflected in the Targum Onkelos. We said again, the Targum Onkelos says, "Ve'even segidolo sitnu be'arachon," a bowing stone, a prostrating stone, you should not make in your lands. What's this prostrating stone? What are we talking about? It sounds like it's a specific thing. A stone of prostration. Well, what is that? So, according to the Rambam, you understand where the Targum Onkelos is coming from. The Rambam says the minog of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the way they used to function, is they would make a special stone which was meant for bowing down upon, and we can't mimic the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in that particular way. So that's the Targum Onkelos, ve'even segido, a stone which is designated for bowing down, for prostration, you shouldn't make. It would come out, it seems, according to the Rambam, again according to the Targum Onkelos, that although we don't bow down on stone in general, in other words, if there's a stone floor, even one which is not a special stone along the lines of what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would make, the prohibition of bowing down on a stone floor in general is a derabbanan, it's a rabbinic extension of the Torah prohibition. The actual Torah prohibition is to make a very specific kind of stone. I guess there was a way in which they would do it. A very specific kind of stone which is associated with bowing down to Avodah Zarah. By extension, we don't bow down on any stone floor. Again, Kemavur, Bigmar, Vaposkim, you know, we don't, our minig is, we even put something down when we bow down on Yom Kippur, even on a carpeted floor, that's our minog, you know, but certainly a stone floor, even though that's not the Even Segido, which is being discussed in the Targum Onkelos, but, you know, what's being discussed in the Targum Onkelos is a special kind of stone which was set aside in that particular way. So the Rambam seems to be rooted in the Targum Onkelos, which again seems to be coming from a different perspective than that articulated by Rashi here al HaTorah, as well as Rashi in Maseches Megillah. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch, Ulazakos, Yisrael, Ufikach, Hirbo Lohem, Torah Umitzvah, Shana.